Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Bar coming up the middle, free safety.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Playbook Podcast. My name is Zach, this is my co-host Jared, and we're here to talk about everything from the gridiron to hardwood, all the way out to the octagon. Hopefully you have fun with us, and let's get right into that episode.
Well, I think we're going to go ahead and start this one off a little different. I know we've been talking about football in the last episode, like the whole episode. So today what we're going to talk about to start the episode off with is a little bit of UFC 278.
God, I watched that live. And for most part, the card was mid. You had a lot of decisions on that. The top three fights, which was obviously Usman versus Edwards, Jose Aldo versus Merab, and then you had Paulo Costa versus Luke Rockhold, were the three main big fights that really sold the card. No one really cared about half of the main card and majority of the undercard. And I know the first one, which was Luke Rockhold, and not the first one in order, but the first one that I like to take notes was Luke Rockhold versus Paulo Acosta. Both of them heavy hitters, both of them not really known for their cardio, and it showed in this fight, both of them gasping for air, but it was a slugfest, when I tell you. Like, at one point, you see Luke Rockhold legit in the third round on the fence going, fuck you, hits him with a clean cross. And I'm like, that is a badass moment out there.
Hey, them dudes lay it all out.
Oh, dude. And then at the end of the fight, Rockhold just rubs his bloody face all across Costa's
face. Dude, I saw that. That was wicked.
And I was just like, yo, you need Jesus. You need something.
I mean, he was happy to do it, too. He was like almost licking him.
Oh, dude. And he retires after the fight. Hopefully, he might change, but if he did retire, that's a great career. Former
is he the one Dana wants to come back, but he's kind of got differences with the UFC?
Yeah, but I don't think he's coming back. He's 37 years old.
Because you know me. I'm not a huge UFC guy. But I'll be more than happy to lay the questions out, but that's why I'm asking. Is he the one that was very, like, controversial with Dana?
Talking about fighter pay?
Yes.
Yes, very much. At the press conference, he's like, yo, we're putting our life out in line. We need more money. And which I totally agree, the way the UFC set up, they're not employees, they're contracts.
Yes.
And so they only get a certain amount of money allocated to their pay, mm-hmm. depending on how many views they pull in. But I totally agree with Luke Rockhold, but that's a hell of a way to end off a career.
Right.
Just fucking, everyone just remember you rubbing that face like, arr. And then you had Jose Aldo versus Merab, boring fight. Merab just basically controlled him with a clinch, and Jose looked kind of scared to lay the fight off. But I know nobody really wants to talk about them two main card fights. We want to talk about Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards.
The fight of the night.
Oh, dude. The comeback of the century, but I'll tell you about the comeback here in a second. First round, Leon comes to fight. He takes Usman down, and that was the first time he's ever been taken down in the UFC without any fight. And Leon's not a wrestler. He's a striker, a boxer.
Okay.
So, and he tries to, he gets the back and tries to choke him out, but time goes out. From the second to 4 minutes into the fifth, it's all Usman. You're like, damn, Leon just looks tired as shit.
I mean, Usman was grilling him all game, all match,
oh,
too.
Oh, dude.
Whole fight, he was just like between rounds, just staring him down like, come on, bitch. You gonna do something?
Exactly. And that's what everyone thought Usman was going to do. Usman's the better wrestler. And his striking has improved immensely. But with 56 seconds left in that fucking fight,
Edwards' right foot had something to say about
it. Oh my god. And if you look back at it, you can see him set it up perfectly. Fake jab, fake right cross, which makes him dip. He closes his eyes, and they stay closed for a good 5 minutes. I mean, they were technically open, but they were in the back of his head.
And no, I watched a little bit of that fight, and it was wild because everyone had Usman winning that fight. And if I do recall, I think I said last podcast that I picked Edwards to win that fight.
You did.
And sure as shit, he pulls it out with just seconds.
You should have gambled it.
I should have.
He was a negative 5,000 odds to win.
Oh, I could have made some money.
Oh, dude, you could have. I don't know odds because I'm not an odds maker.
We might have to start making some odds on this podcast.
Some parlays.
You know, like, I'm you know,
but
DraftKings or, you know, you get into some, you know, we figure Caesar, you know.
Oh, yeah. So there's multiple bouts that could come out of Leon winning.
Mm-hmm.
The most common one that everyone talks about, Usman get the rematch. Usman.
Well, Dana, post UFC event, Dana's post-conference stated that there will be a rematch between those two.
Yes. But, now let me take you down the rabbit hole real quick.
Okay.
So Leon could either take the Usman fight, which obviously bring massive money. Leon versus Usman 3, take my money. Or he could do Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal, if you know anything about their back history.
Before coming back to that rematch?
Oh, yes. So you know the history between Edwards and Masvidal?
Not as well as you.
So, it's not a deep history. So, this was 2019. Masvidal just knocked out Darren Till. And he's baptizing people and going on his, like, little run in the UFC where he's one of the most popular fighters ever. Well, after the fight, he's doing an interview and he hears Leon coming towards him. Well, they both walk face-to-face, and Masvidal hits him with a three-piece. Boom, boom, boom. Busts open Leon, and he goes on to say, yeah, he came up talking shit, and I gave him a three-piece and a soda. Where I come from, that means we're about to fight. So they could do that, or they could do Usman. Either way, it's a money fight.
I mean, they could play them both. I mean,
if Leon beats Usman the second time, I believe Masvidal gets a shot because UFC likes that. Money.
So before we roll on to our next subject, because it's going to deal in football, how about Dana dropping the news on Tom Brady and Gronk supposedly going to Las Vegas
in
2021?
I heard that in...
Or was it 2020? No, it was 2021.
2021? I thought it was...
It was the 21
season. The offseason right after 2019. Right before he signed with Tampa.
Yeah, he was supposed to go...
So, 2020.
The year that the year that Oakland moved to Las Vegas was the year that Brady and Gronk were supposed to sign with the Raiders. And that was the year that Gruden had the issues with the emails.
Emails.
So, what I'm thinking happened was they had this deal drawn up, according to Dana White. They had this deal drawn up. He had them coming. Dana had them coming out to Vegas. Because Dana's like, I got a box out there, bro. He's like, I'd have loved Brady and Gronk to come out here and win us a Soupy. He's like, because that's what they did when they went down to Tampa. He was like, they would have came over here and done the same exact thing. He was like, but Gruden fucked it up at the end. Brady got pissed at Vegas because Brady was already looking for land out there. Brady was already about to buy a house out there. And then that shit happened. And, Gruden lost his job, lost his career, and Brady went to Tampa and won a soup.
And almost won two. If it wasn't for the Rams.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for Matt Stafford.
Cooper Kupp, let's be honest.
I mean, I don't think Jared Goff would have got past Brady.
Oh, hell no. But I don't know why he brought that up. I really don't. Like.
Well, it's because Gronk brought it up.
Oh, yeah, Gronk did bring it up.
Gronk brought it up on his podcast.
No, they had a deal with ESPN. They basically... did like a commentate on the fight with Gronk's.
That's right.
I didn't see none of it because I don't care about commentating. I want to watch the fight.
Of course.
I don't care about Gronk talking about the fight. I'm surprised Gronk could put a cohesive sentence together.
Hey, maybe you might want to start because Gronk be putting out information that you want to know.
Not the information I want to know.
Well, let's roll into the NFC, because last week we spoke about the AFC and how dangerous that freaking minefield is. Let's,
after talking about the AFC, I'm looking at this NFC, I'm like, I would feel a lot safer to be in the NFC right now.
I wish my team was in the NFC.
Oh my God. I mean, my team's the Jaguars, so.
Hey, look, we had that conversation last week. There's a lot of great things happening in Jacksonville right now, I feel like, and they could be one of them under the radar.
Yeah,
teams.
But at the worst time.
Well, look, I mean, but look what division they're in. They're in the AFC South, man.
Yeah, that's but a, that's look what conference they're in. They're in the AFC.
I get it, but you might make a wild card.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go AFC North. Let's kick this thing off with the North. We've got the Bears.
The Bears.
So my thing with the Bears is they got a second-year quarterback in Justin Fields. They also have a second-year wide receiver in Darnell Mooney, which I'm kind of hyped about Mooney. If you look at his receptions last year, the only thing between targets and receptions and yards were his touchdowns were weak. That was the only thing. So under a second year, and with Fields being his favorite wide receiver, you know what I'm saying? I think between him and Clement, those might actually be two serviceable players on your fantasy roster this year. I think Chicago could make a run in this division, but I honestly have them last in this division this year just because I feel there's two other teams that are a little bit more spicy.
So my thing with the Bears, I think they're going to be compete for bottom three in the whole league.
100%.
I mean, and I think they make offseason trades to get draft capital, clear up cap space, to sign players, and it's a rebuild year. They understand Justin Fields, like, hey, yo, we know we picked you up. We see you as the foreseeable quarterback of our future. But you're going to have to build with us, buddy. We're not
like, the Kansas City Chiefs. It was like a Buffalo Bills situation with Josh Allen whenever he came in. They threw him into the fire first year, and then they just kept building around him. You know what I'm saying? It literally took us 2 years to get Diggs. So watch out for the Bears. If they don't make a splash move this year, I guarantee you next year they make a splash move.
I just don't trust that front office. The Bears front office is like kind of not Browns-esque, but
they are. They're very Browns-esque.
I'll put them in that same category. Mm-hmm.
But I have them coming in fourth in the division.
Same here.
By the Lions, you want to kick off the Lions for us?
I'll talk about the Lions real quick. I believe they're going to make an exponential push.
I'm with you.
I don't think they're going to win the division push, but I think they're going to take that, oh, we're the Lions, dun, 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 dun. And we're going to win. I mean,
not with this coach.
Jared Goff, he's a serviceable quarterback. Yes. Serviceable. Not the worst. Not the best. I'll put him in a C-minus category. DeAndre Swift, stud.
Well, I mean, of course he's a stud. The dude's a beast.
The wide receiver core, sneaky good.
Once they get Williams back, I feel like they'll be a whole different team.
Oh, same here. And then that offensive line?
Well, they have technically one of the best offensive lines in the league. Well, one of the highest paid offensive lines in the league.
And they showed out even last season. You were like, okay, they're holding their own. They got TJ Hockenson. I mean, that defense,
that's
not stout, but if I had to choose, like, you could take this defense or a worse defense, I would definitely take. It's not the worst. It's mid-tier like, defense.
You're right. But, I mean, you're also probably comparing that defense with, like, a Houston Texans.
No, I'll say they're...
They're no Browns defense.
They're about...
Well, I don't know. With the addition of the new defensive in there.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I might be eating some of my words right now. I'm high on the Lions this year. I sound like one of them crazy people. I'm kind of high on the Lions, and I know it's preseason.
I'm mid on them. I'm still mid on them. They're the Lions for a reason.
What's your projection in the division?
They're third.
Really?
They're third.
I have them second.
Second, so...
I have them second.
God, second place in the division. I couldn't see that.
Here, you want me to tell you my third place team?
Who's your third place?
The Packers.
Ooh, no.
I know, right? Going from one to three in my book.
I don't see them as a third team.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Well, they lose Adams.
Yep, they did lose Adams.
You know what I'm saying? So, and they didn't sign any big names in the wide receiver area. Yep. Sammy Watkins is not a big name. He's an injury name.
Oh, he's a,
you know, so
depth chart stuffer.
So they don't add no receivers. The only thing that they really have other than Aaron Rodgers is freaking Aaron Jones and
you're forgetting about one guy in that wide receiver room.
And A.J. Dillon.
Rome Doobs.
Oh, the Rook?
The Rook. I have
I have him wrote down on a list over here because I've been hearing a lot about him throughout preseason. But what I'm trying to say is like if we're talking about a Rook wide receiver on a team, I'm kind of expecting them to have an already number one wide receiver.
And that's, you know what I'm saying? That's like, the main man, Alan Lazard. I don't understand where you're not seeing this at.
Because
he's Randy Moss.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. And maybe with Aaron Rodgers, I could see where they would get it put together. But I still have them. I have them third in the division this year because I feel like the Lions and one other team is going to be better.
So I have them second place. Second place just because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in that division by far.
I'll give you that.
By far. Like, there's no comparison.
And he can make a mid-level receiver look like a starting receiver.
Exactly.
I'll give you that.
That defense lost a couple pieces.
But that defense is also the strong point of that team this year.
Exactly. I feel like they're going to be a top five defense this year.
Mm-hmm. I like their corners. I like their linebackers. I look at them as a rebuild, man. They're with Chicago on this. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see full rebuild. I see like, hey, we need to pick up a few pieces. But if we could use the pieces that we have, they can make a playoff push.
I'm just hating on Green Bay right now, bro.
Green Bay.
I'm hating on them right now. I'm saying third in the division, bro.
And now the number one team.
That's the team I'm going with.
The Vikings.
What? Can we... No Vikings fan, but you know I like what they're doing in Minnesota.
Canada.
They got a new coaching staff that's offensive minded.
Yeah,
you got Justin Jefferson,
Jay Jealous.
You got Thielen, Adam Thielen,
Thailand,
old Thailand. You know what I'm saying? You got Dalvin Cook. That's two awesome receivers and a great running back. And they're and old Kirk Cousins, old 50-50 man, one of the wealthiest quarterbacks in the league.
For not doing
with a 59-59 record. I'm just saying, though, the dude throws up points. He throws yards.
He just don't win games.
But I'm just saying, like, he throws over 4,000 yards a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone overlooks him. I'm telling you, with a new offensive-minded head coach, watch Minnesota win that fucking division.
Oh, I see Minnesota winning that division just because, like, the Packers regressed. The Bears are dog shit. And the Lions...
The Bears are dog shit, but I feel like they could be that sneak and just... They'll still be fourth in the division. But they'll win a couple of the games that they're not supposed to win this year.
I mean, I can't predict that, but I still think they're dog shit. And the Lions are the Lions.
I still think Aaron Rodgers owns them.
Let me tell what Aaron Rodgers also owns. The NFC East.
Ooh.
God, that division. This is going to be a hard one to call. I want to start with America's team. Not your team, not my team. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't think they've been America's team since the 90s.
They're always America's team. But I believe, you can quote me on this, Dak Prescott has one of his worst years to date.
You think so?
He doesn't. He has CeeDee Lamb and who else? Michael Gallup's.
Schultz, baby.
Get out of here.
Schultz, baby!
What, they're going to feed Zeke? Offseason.
Fuck Zeke. Zeke's done.
Zeke's a fullback now.
Tony Pollard, baby.
That's what I'm saying. The best running back.
Tony Pollard.
Yeah, but then.
Stretch that O on there. I'm telling you, I think Zeke is his last year with Dallas.
Oh, same here. And then you have Mike McCarthy who's proven that he can't really coach.
I think the offensive coordinator might take that job.
Oh, he should, because Mike McCarthy, he fucked up with Aaron Rodgers, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've seen in the past couple years, decade?
Now, I will give Dallas this. Their defense has gotten stronger.
Yeah, but if you can't put up points.
Well, the only thing I worry about with Dallas is the penalties. You know what I'm saying? We watched him, what, it was like 17 penalties in the second preseason game? So what I'm saying, though, is like if they can keep the defense
light on the penalties, they could actually potentially win this division. I have them coming in second place.
Them coming in second because that defense is overrated.
I do have them in second. I'm going to save my first place for last. And I'm going to go, let's go. I'm going to say, let's talk about the Commanders.
The who?
Yeah. Third name in 3 years. You know, we'll
that should
see.
Be a record.
I don't think this is the year either, though, for them.
No, like, you went from... I can't remember their last quarterback name.
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Heineke, baby.
Oh, Heineken.
He's still there.
Oh, yeah. But they upgraded a Carson Wentz. And might I add you, Carson Wentz lost to the Jaguars, who had the first number one overall pick, by the way, to not make it to the playoffs with a better team. Do I need to say it for the again for the people in the back? He had a better team last year and still sucked.
And I think he went to the right place. He went to the place where quarterbacks go to die.
I thought you were about to say, he has the perfect fit now, Doug. Like, no, what the hell?
He does. He has the perfect place to retire his career.
Oh, my God.
And that's what's going to happen in Washington. I really feel that way. They do have Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry can be scary at times.
At times.
But I just don't know how scary Terry will be this year with scary wins. Because it can be scary whenever he's behind center.
Exactly.
You know, so, but, you know, I guess my biggest question coming out of Washington, who are we going with running back?
Oh, I'm going with B-Rob all day, every day.
B-Rob, huh?
Oh, I'm a Bama fan.
Bama boy. And you know what's funny? Is I got B-Rob in my notes right here. I skipped the second string running back, and I'm saying B-Rob by week 4 might be their starting running back.
If not week 5. Because the first four weeks, I think he gets that third down back.
If you can get B-Rob in your fantasy draft late or even undrafted, I think you might have a steal on the year.
Don't give up my secrets, please.
That's what we're here to do for you all, is give you those secrets.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to lose fantasy either.
Well, you know, you're going to anyways.
No,
it's okay.
I'm not.
We'll still be friends. But I have, you know what's funny, though, is I don't have them coming in last place.
I do.
I have them coming in third.
I have them coming in last. And the team I have coming in third is the New York G-Men.
The G-Men is who I have coming in for.
Oh, no, son. Danny Dimes.
Okay, so I like Danny Dimes.
I hate him.
But the thing that we have to think about, though, is just like we were talking about with the Vikings, and just like we were talking about with a couple of the AFC teams, you have new coaches.
Yes.
I like Brian Daboll. I do, because he was our offensive coordinator. He did well with us, but he had a bunch of fucked game plans sometimes, and it really pissed me off. It seemed like he was just calling shit calls. And what I'm thinking, though, is like I think he'll do well with the Giants, but we're gonna have to stretch this out like 4 years.
Oh, dude!
And I think you're gonna lose Shaquan. You're probably gonna lose. I think they'll re-sign Daniel Jones.
They shouldn't.
But I think they will, because if Brian Daboll can have that time with him, I think he might be able to play with him, because he is kind of an athletic quarterback. He can run. He's not the fastest son of a bitch, but he can move, and he can throw some dimes. So
the defense.
Just because it's a higher percentage right now, you know what I'm saying?
No, but Danny Dimes has been a big disappointment to me, because everyone's like, oh, he's going to be the steal of the draft. What has he done?
He's done nothing, because he's had nothing.
And they still have nothing.
The Giants have done a great job at wasting money, and then now they're having to get rid of a bunch of players.
Exactly. Like, they ruined Saquon.
What do you think about him this year?
I don't think much. I think if he stays healthy, 950 yards.
Really?
To 1,000.
That would be a decent year.
Yeah, that would be a decent year, but not what everyone expects with Saquon.
Now, is that 1,000 yards? Between catch and
all purpose,
so all purpose 1,000 yards is kind of low.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so with those numbers, I would agree with you. I'm wanting him to get like 1,200 to 1,400 yards at minimum because of his last two seasons.
I just don't see it, because like with Saquon, he's just so injury ridden. I think with running backs, after a certain amount of injuries, you're...
I'm with you. I mean...
You're done.
We've seen it a lot in this league. But I think Shaquan could have a good year this year. I really do. I hope Shaquan has a good year, because I would love to try to pick him up maybe in like the fourth round, which I know he won't make it that far.
He probably will.
But if he did, I would grab him and at least try it out.
Yeah, one game against a piss poor defense.
Well, what I'm saying though is I'd take a risk on him in the fourth round.
Now, I guess our unanimous number one team overall, with no shock, the Eagles. Fly high, Eagles.
Bro, the Eagles are quiet good.
I mean, they made the playoffs last year.
But with the additions.
Oh, what, they got, I can't think of the name right now.
A.J. Brown.
For some reason, I was thinking Justin Brown.
A.J. Brown. You got Devontae Smith.
Yep.
You've got Rager, that was another first-round guy that's a wide receiver.
Can't really hold on to the ball.
But...
Once he catches it, he has the burners.
That's what I'm saying. So with having two better wide receivers in front of him will make him a better receiver.
And line him up with the linebackers and safeties a lot more.
And then also you got Miles Sanders in the backfield, and then you got Jalen Hurts, bro.
Which that's the only question mark we have. Like
Miles Sanders?
No, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I have no question marks.
I do a little, just because.
I mean, look at the stellar season he had last year.
Now let's see. We've seen people have stellar one season, and then Carson Wentz, for example, had that
in Philly.
In Philly,
I agree with you.
Had that hell of a season, tore his shit. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl,
but Jalen hasn't tore his shit yet.
Yeah, but we've seen quarterbacks. Even Cam Newton had that 15-1 season, and then what has he done ever since?
I agree. And I think with their coaching staff that they have, I like them. They've been predicted. I don't know if you've heard this, but they have been predicted by Football Almanac, the guys that have been doing it for like 18 years. They're predicted as the dark horse out of the NFC to play in the Super Bowl.
I don't see that, man. Like,
look at the roster, bro. They statistically have the easiest path to the Super Bowl. Did you know that? Their schedule is technically the easiest in the NFL this year.
Their number's 36 on PFF? Football something?
No, I think it's something stupid low like that. They literally have the easiest path to the Super Bowl. But let's get out of the...
And let's talk about teams that have the easiest path to teams that have the hardest history with the Super Bowl, with the NFC South, and that is the Dirty Birds.
I think...
The Atlanta Falcons.
And I think, isn't this the division where no team has won it back-to-back? Did the Bucks do it finally?
Yeah, Bucks won it in...
Last year and the year before?
2019, 2020.
Because of Brady. So,
yeah.
I think Tampa broke that curse. Because I think that was the division. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to check it out. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the NFC South is the only division in the NFL that has had a different winner every year. It may have...
May have been broken.
It may have been the NFC East, but I'm almost positive it's the NFC South. It's one of those two NFC conferences every year has been a different
I
want to
say it's the East, actually.
Is it the East with the Giants, the Commanders, Cowboys, and Eagles?
But I really don't know. But speaking on them Falcons, though, we all know what we're going to expect with them, right?
Rebuild.
Like, if we're talking about building a new house, they just lay down the foundation.
Holy Jesus. I love, though... The key pieces that they have brought in on offense to help out whatever quarterback they go with in the future. And it might be Desmond Ridder. Have you watched this asshole's preseason?
Oh, he's actually...
Holy shit! God dang! I was like, yo, how do you play this well for Atlanta and suck ass so bad against Alabama? Because literally, I think Cincinnati could beat Atlanta.
No, I'm telling you right now, he's on the juice. Might not be legal juice, but he's on some sort of juice that Trevor Lawrence needs to be on.
Hey, look, don't speak too loud, because you know when you're on the juice, they'll suspend you a whole season. So you might want to go hard.
No. If you gamble team winning,
or take performance enhancing drugs,
but. Nah, we're not.
But you know, I mean, go get a massage. You're only suspended 6 games.
11
Well, yeah.
Massages are a little bit more hated. But with the Atlanta Falcons, you're not going to expect much as a Falcons fan. In all honesty, just hope and pray that the Georgia Bulldogs in college does.
Atlanta's. I feel like Atlanta's bidding for a top five pick again this year.
Oh yeah.
You want to make a guess? Right now, preseason, go ahead and make a guess for next draft.
You want to make like a little wager?
I'm saying pick 4.
I'm going 2.
You're going 2?
I'm going number dos.
Ooh.
Because they're not smart enough to tank like that.
But they got the coach to get them 4 wins.
Yeah, and I think they're the worst team in NFL right now.
I can't disagree with you on that, because I think the only other team worse is the Commanders.
No, I like the Commanders over the Falcons, the Bears.
Oh, I like the Bears.
And Houston.
I like sneaky Houston. I don't know why I'm such a Houston guy this year, but they have some key pieces I really like.
But from a team that we kind of know where we're going to get, unless if hell freezes over, to a team that we really don't know what to talk about. Except for their quarterback edition, which is the Carolina Panthers. Shout out to you, Soper.
Well, I mean, they just confirmed that Baker Mayfield's their guy. Which we all kind of figured that, why you brought him in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't want damned Arnold.
I mean,
I'm seeing ghosts. Ooh.
I was watching today where they interviewed a couple Cleveland Browns defensive ends.
Yeah.
One being Myles Garrett. And Garrett was like, I don't see no rivalry between this. He played for us last year. I don't see any rivalry between the Browns and the Panthers. And I think he speaks truth to this, but I think it's really a rivalry between Baker Mayfield
and the Browns.
Because he was the first quarterback to pull them from 1-34 to a playoff team.
Yes.
And now you booted him
for
a massage guy that is suspended for 11 games.
And which kind of confirms
that. How would that make you feel as the number one overall pick for that team just to get shitted on for Deshaun Watson?
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Bro, I hope he goes in there and whips ass. Yeah. I hope Carolina spanks the shit out of him.
Oh, drops 5 on him.
I hope Carolina makes him look like a fucking Hall of Famer.
Remember in college, it was against Kansas, he did the jack-off motion.
Oh my God, yes, I do remember that. I
love that.
He was also the one that stabbed the OU flag.
Oh, yeah.
In Ohio State.
Dude, he was a savage back then.
He was a savage.
He's still a savage.
I think he'll be the one to bring Carolina back together. And with that being said, I like DJ Moore. Even more.
And I like Robbie Anderson.
I hate Robbie Anderson.
Why do you hate Robbie Anderson?
Because he sucks. Look, I had him on my fantasy team, and he was putting up a whopping like 5 points a game because Robbie Anderson's hands weren't agreeing with a football. So, fuck Robbie Anderson. Sorry, Robbie Anderson. If you do well this year, great. But just not on my team.
Yeah, I'm not picking you. I'm not picking your ass up again.
But I tell you, I think, really, if talking about the Carolina Panthers, what is really going to make or break their season is going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. That's been their thing for the past, 4 years now?
If he can stay healthy, bro, they're a potential playoff team.
If CMC doesn't tear anything, you're in. Like, you're possibly fighting the Bucks for first place.
I'm telling you, bro. If CMC stays healthy the whole season, they come in second place behind Tampa.
Yeah, and then, I can't remember what I wrote.
Well, the next team that I'm going to go with here is the Saints. And
who that?
I think the Saints and Carolina are going to be the team fighting for second place. And again,
a wild card.
That all depends on Christian McCaffrey on the Carolina side. But going with the Saints side, they are bringing back Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has gotten a lot better with his control. He's gotten a lot better with not throwing too many interceptions.
Pull that back. He only had, 4 games?
But his
his touchdown to interception ratio was night and day different from his touchdown to interception ratio at Tampa.
Yeah, but
it is because of coaching.
Oh yeah, coaching.
So, but do I believe in Crab Leg Winston? No, I don't.
Oh, no.
But I feel like he puts them in a decent position because he's one of them players that like fits a specific type of team, I feel like. And I feel like Tampa was a good spot for him. I feel like New Orleans is a good spot for him. I feel like a Southeastern NFL team is a good spot for him. Shit, if he went to Carolina, I think it would be a good spot for him. But what I'm getting to, though, is with his arm, Chris Olave, Michael Hamstring Thomas, and Jarvis Landry and Alvin Kamara, and then you bring back the old dude, Mark Ingram.
Oh, they re-signed him?
Last year. Ooh. So you got that tandem in the backfield again. I really think whenever Alvin Kamara has his best friend in the backfield with Mark Ingram, for some dumb reason, it works great.
Oh, it does.
So with three great wide receivers, with with one really good running back and one that's, you know, was a really good running back, just getting a little bit older.
Yeah.
I feel like New Orleans could really, and I'll be honest with you, New Orleans could win this whole division because they kind of own Brady.
Oh, no,
they own Brady.
Brady and the Bucks? What? They haven't beat him in a regular season.
I think they went. Did they go for two last year against him?
I want to say so.
So what I'm saying though is like Brady sucks against the Saints for some reason. That could help them get over the top and be the number one. But as of right now, I have them at two.
So with the Saints, in my opinion, because Sean Payton left last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they take a regression because Sean Payton is one of them coaches that come.
Well, Sean Payton wasn't there last year.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, last year was the first year without Sean Payton.
Oh, okay.
He was supposed to go to Miami with Brady, and then Bill Belichick blew all that shit up. So just like John Gruden blowing up the Las Vegas shit, Bill Belichick was like, hey, hold your horses. You're not coming back to the AFC East. Let me just put a text message out.
They're cheating again.
So,
but all jokes aside, like I'm not high on the Saints. I'm not high on Jameis Winston. I think if they show me in the first 2 weeks that something different, maybe I bump them up around midseason time if we ever talk about this again. But right now I have them third fighting for second.
Who do you have as two?
Right now I got Carolina as two.
Okay. I can agree with that. Because like I said, I have it on my notes. Is that if Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, they are number two. And if he gets hurt, they are number three.
Yeah, but with the Saints, there's a lot more questions than answers.
Yeah, but when they come marching in.
Once you hear that, who that, who that? And then you hear the old gentleman, and you're like, what the hell's happening here? They're up by 30, and I never understood a word they're saying. Now, let's just talk about Tom Brady kissing his son in Tampa.
Oh, man.
God, I hate this guy.
You know, every scandal that has happened in the NFL in the past 10 years has all had one thing in common.
Tom fucking Brady.
Tell me that it hasn't.
Not every scandal.
Just about.
I mean, Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Brady was probably in the same massage parlor.
But, I mean, Robert Kraft got busted.
Oh,
that's all massaging. But what I'm saying, though, is like you talk about anything that's happened in football.
Oh, yeah.
In the NFL. Not outside the NFL. In the NFL.
Deflategate.
You had the fumble that was a forward pass. You had Deflategate. You had Spygate. You had the cheating scandal with trying to call while he's still in contract with another team.
Yeah.
The owner of Miami. Now we're just finding out about John Gruden. There was some behind the scenes deals where they're trying to get Tom Brady and Gronk to Las Vegas. Everything that has dealt scandal wise in the NFL the past like 10 years has all had the same name attached to it.
I'll say 75% of them.
Tom fucking Brady.
But what can you say though? He's the greatest quarterback to play. And he's what, 89?
I mean, uh-huh. Robert Kraft loves him.
He's 89.
So does Roger Goodell.
Oh, but you can't hate greatness, and they reloaded on wide receivers again.
Holy
with
shit.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones. You got Leonard Fournette in the backfield.
They're stacked.
Defense didn't really lose anything besides JPP.
The defense is gnarly as well.
Oh, yeah. The only major loss is, what, JPP?
Oh, they didn't re-sign him?
I don't believe so.
What about Sue?
I think they re-signed him. I got to double-check on that.
You know, they're old as shit. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, the older pass rushers and the older offensive linemen are kind of nice to have because they're smarter.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing, like, I learned this at a very young age, never bet against Brady.
Jesus.
I've been heartbroken too many times. Lost a couple of monies.
I'm a Bills fan, so I really dislike Brady with a passion because he beat us every year, twice a year, for a solid 15 years.
And then when you thought you were going to get your revenge, he moves to the
NFC. He leaves. What a giant.
And you're just like, man, it's close. But I have the Bucks coming in first place. There's not really much to talk about besides Bruce Arians moving out the coaching position.
Did you hear why?
No, I didn't hear the reason.
Brady.
Okay.
No, 100%. He said if Brady would have left, he would have stayed the head coach. But since Brady came back, he took an office job.
Yeah, because Brady's basically the head coach or Brady, the offensive coordinator.
Brady controls everything.
I mean, if you win more Super Bowls than any other franchise, I mean, you're going to say no?
I'm not.
Exactly. Like, you can hate the guy all you want, but, like...
I mean, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you, man. Like, Brady is a guy that's easy to hate but easy to love. And it all depends on what team he's on. Oh, yeah. Like, there was a lot of probably Tampa fans that hated Brady before he came to Tampa.
Oh, yes. Like, oh, fuck Brady next year.
And then Brady's like, I'm coming to Tampa.
Tampa Brady.
Tampa Brady.
Like, God, I hate Tampa Bay. So much. But let's go from a conference that pisses me off to a conference that pisses me off even more.
I mean, it's just the NFC West.
God, there's some reason I just hate the NFC West. Just stupid decisions. Stupid, stupid, stupid decisions. And the biggest stupid decision was caused by this team we're about to talk about now, which is the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl against your boy Brady. But Seattle, oh, that's another team I don't think is fighting for that top five pick.
I think they're fighting for the first pick.
Oh, dude, Pete Carroll doesn't give a fuck this year.
I think, well, I mean, one, he's like ancient, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, hey, I'll ruin this team before I leave. I've only got a few more years left as it is.
I got a few more years of life.
I'm going to pull an Urban Meyer, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to have some heart issues here soon, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to get rid of the house, maybe grab some fifth round picks for it, you know what I'm saying? And we'll pick up some third stringers.
Oh, so you're saying the Bill O'Brien treatment.
That's what it is.
The Bill O'Brien. But let's be honest, though. Like, Seattle, they have, what, DK Metcalf, Jamal Adams. They let go of Bobby Wagner. Let go of Russell Wilson. Wait,
Bobby Wagner got a sweet deal.
Oh, he did.
We'll get to that one in a minute. But, and he stayed in the same division. I think the only thing that helps Seattle, and that's only if, the 49ers are willing to play Santa Claus and ship Jimmy G to them.
They're not.
I mean, I wouldn't either because it's in the same conference.
Same division, same conference.
So like, I wouldn't do that either.
Hell no.
But shit, they just shipped Bobby Wagner to the Rams.
Yeah, because they're in
the same division.
Because they're offloading. They're not trying to unload.
But if you were to unload at a cheap rate with a Jimmy G, that would help DK out tremendously. Now, granted, we haven't really seen Geno with the true starting wide receivers and stuff, but Geno is Geno.
Here's what I'm going to say, hot take right now. They trade DK Metcalf before trade deadline.
You think so?
Oh, dude, they're...
After they just paid him a three-year $77 million contract?
Oh, I can see it happening. If they're
Where would he go? Who would be willing to pay that?
Jacksonville.
Not this year. I think you guys are too close to the cap on that, right?
I don't know the whole cap situation right now. I was just...
But, yeah, I have Seattle coming in last place.
Oh, easy last. That's not even a hard one.
Their running back situation's messed up. Their quarterback situation's messed up.
Offensive line's the same.
I mean, literally, I think they're, like, they're full rebuild mode right now.
They're with Atlanta on full Atlanta and Houston, for sure.
So what's your thoughts on the Cardinals?
So, the Cardinals, they're a big question mark for me because last year, first half of the season, they were the team. They were that boom, 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 boom. This year, they have some question marks. Kyler Murray.
He
got paid, but are you going to really focus on football? DeAndre Hopkins, out for 6 weeks.
But you picked up Hollywood Brown.
But you picked up Hollywood Brown. And still have A.J. Green and Zach Ertz. And you have, who's their running back right now?
James Conner, baby.
James Conner. So it's like, y'all have a squad. Like, y'all had basically the same squad last year.
I think the big difference is going to be the mentality of Kyler Murray this year.
Is he going to play big boy ball?
No, I think he will, because you know they had him do this last preseason game.
Oh, they had last two, which was coach from the sideline.
He played offensive coordinator, so which does what?
Makes him remember the plays and all that stuff.
Makes him think even deeper into the play. So, like, you know, he's watching himself call a play and then watching his teammates run it and seeing like what he could possibly do different with it. So I'm saying the Cardinals are the second best team in this division this year.
I got them second, third.
I got them at a solid two, and the reason being I have them at a solid two is because of the next guy we're going to talk about and the next team we're going to talk about is the 49ers.
That is who I'm having that second and two.
I have them at three this year because of Trey Lance.
I have them at second and three because we don't know how Trey Lance is going to play in an actual game.
And I think Trey Lance is going to shoot off some stars because I think he's going to be throwing some bombs. He's got a cannon. And have you seen Danny Gray, the rook?
Oh, fucking phenomenal.
What's up with these track star wide receivers? We didn't even mention the track star Eagles. Wide receiver from the Eagles.
God, I was just thinking about that too.
I'm just saying. So, I like the 49ers. I like what they're doing in Seattle. Or in Seattle. Jesus, Jared. What they're doing in San Francisco. But I think Trey Lance will be good. But I also feel that there will be some, like, rook mistakes. I know he's not a rookie, but he didn't play a whole bunch last year because they had Jimmy G. So whenever he was in, what was, like, one of the first things he wanted to do if the play wasn't exactly what he wanted it to be? And he got busted a couple times, even playing the Cardinals, mm-hmm. whenever he wanted to do that side run, and they jammed him up right near the goal line, and he didn't score. So that's why I have the 49ers in the third spot, because it's just a little bit of growing this year. I think they'll move right back up into the second spot or the first spot next year, because I don't know how far, I don't know how long the number one team is going to be the number one team in that division.
Here's why I say they're second or third, basically with the Cardinals. I believe the only thing separating the Cardinals and 49ers are two things.
Let's hear it.
First of all, the Cardinals quarterback's way better than 49ers.
As of right now.
But the coaching staffs are the, in my opinion, flip-flopped. With 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan.
He's a much better coach.
He's a much better coach than Arizona's.
You're correct. But you got to understand where they are schematic-wise. You got to understand where they are, like, year-wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kyler Murray's been in this system for, what, third year now? Or fourth year?
Third year. Because he was 2019.
He got a new contract after two?
Going into three, I believe so. Because
holy shit.
Because the first year, he really didn't have a good year.
Then they picked up
D-Hop.
Okay.
This is D-Hop's second year.
In Arizona. So, I think Arizona's just a little bit farther ahead when it comes to like players and things like that than San Francisco. Don't get me wrong, they have Debo. They have
that defense.
Elijah Mitchell, which I feel like is going to have a good year if he can stay healthy.
Oh yeah.
Their defense is always gnarly. But
here's what I got to say though.
They might take a regression on defense.
I don't think they take a big regression if any.
Their DC is the head coach of the Jets.
But If I had to put money, an uncomfortable amount of money, I would go with the tried and tested 49ers team versus the team that showed me last year, like, hey, we had a fall off for no reason. There was no major injury.
So here's why I'm going to disagree. The 49ers lost their D coordinator year four last.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers just lost their offensive coordinator last year. To Miami.
Oh, that, yeah.
So, new offensive coordinator. Now, mind you, Shanahan's an offensive guy, so I don't feel like there should be too much of a regression, but you're going to have to bring someone new in or bring someone up.
I think they're bringing someone up. I don't know the offensive coordinator right now.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, with Carolina or I'm sorry, with the Cardinals keeping their coaching staff in place, keeping the players in place, and adding some new ones, Kyler Murray's old buddy from college, I feel like the Cardinals are a little bit farther ahead, and that's why I have the Niners at third.
Oh, okay. And then now the team that everyone's trying to be, because they are the reigning, defending Super Bowl champions themselves, the Los Angeles Rams.
It still hurts me to say Los Angeles Rams, even though they were the LA Rams way before.
Yeah.
I grew up as a kid knowing them as the St. Louis Rams.
With God, I can't think of his name right now.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Bag Boy Warner.
You hit it, Ross, thinking Bag Boy Warner, and you pulled it before I could get to it.
I got you. They lost OBJ.
Not a big loss.
But they picked up Allen Robinson.
Which could be great or could be a bust.
Either or. They lost Von Miller, but they picked up Bobby Wagner.
I'm telling you, the Rams are solid.
They kept basically the same core.
Guess who's back at running back?
Sonny Michel?
Cam Akers.
Oh, Cam. See,
remember he came back at the end of the season and was like blowing up?
Oh, my God.
So what I'm saying is they got Cam Akers back. This is the third year of Van Jefferson, too. Now, I know he just had some off-season surgery, but they like him out there.
And then you got Cup. Cup is...
You don't even need to talk about Cup, because we already know, like...
A better Hunter Renfrow.
You know, like, oh, my God. Well, you know why he's so good at that, they said? Last year, I found out why.
Why?
He was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he was a quarterback in college.
Most best white wide receivers...
Are quarterbacks.
Were D2 quarterbacks.
Look what's happening also now. You have the wide receivers converting over to corners and killing it, like Stephon Diggs' brother.
Killing it.
Hold on now. He did kill it. He had, like... 15 interceptions last year. Now, was all of his coverage good? Fuck no. But he had the most interceptions via corner last year. And I feel like part of it is to do with his wide receiver background.
Oh, yeah. But also, if you let someone burn you for 20-plus yards.
I mean, you can't say much. Look what happened to Jalen Ramsey last year against the Bengals.
Good. Let me say this again, but slowly. Good.
That's just because you're a Jaguars fan.
You're damn right. No, but
you should be thankful you got rid of that piece of shit.
No, he is a good ball player. I mean, he did have them highlight plays against them on the Bengals, but would you take a Jalen Ramsey to cover the number one wide receiver?
You're fucking right all day long.
Exactly. Like,
I would take that loudmouth motherfucker any day of the week just because of how aggressive he is at corner.
And that's why they brought back Aaron Donald. From the teeth of retirement.
I mean, he's been there like 8 years and won a soup now, so what's the point of staying?
To win another.
You got it all. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. I don't think they make the Super Bowl this year out of the NFC.
Who you got as a Super Bowl since we covered the whole NFC?
So if I were to go with a Super Bowl contender out of the NFC, I'm looking... If it comes out of the NFC West, I'm going to say, yeah, Rams maybe or Cardinals. But if I had to pick, I really like the Vikings or the Eagles.
So
they seem to have the most complete team. Look at Jordan Davis in the center of that defensive line. It's going to take two motherfuckers to stop that son of a bitch.
All he's got is, I'm big. I go through here.
I don't know. He does have that, but like he puts that freaking size 22 hand on your face, and you're like,
"So the team,
I can't talk."
The teams I have are the Rams and the Eagles as well.
Okay,
because I do like the Eagles. Like I did say, Jalen Hurts had question marks, but I think he proves a lot of doubters wrong. And the Rams, like, it's just hard for me to not think like, "Yo, you didn't lose any big pieces." Same coaching staff.
I don't want it to be the Rams again.
I mean,
I'm tired of it being the home stadium team getting to the goddamn Super Bowl and winning it.
I,
when did that start happening? Tampa. Because when Brady went to fucking Tampa?
Against Kansas City.
Well, think about that shit. TB and TB for the fucking Super Bowl and TB. Fucking ratings. And that's been my problem with the NFL is ever since last year, Roger Goodell wants to come out and be like, well, you know, the NFL is an entertainment sport, you know? Fuck your entertainment, okay? I want to see these big grizzly motherfuckers go out there and beat the shit out of each other and see who actually wins the game. There should not be any stupid flags at the end of the game because, well, this team, we picked this team to win. You know, just this team's playing better today, but this team we have winning, so they have to win. This ain't the fucking WWE. Let's play fucking football. They got pads on and you pay them millions of dollars.
I mean, if it is the WWE, give me my suplexes back. Jesus Christ, give me my Lawrence Taylor hits.
I'm sorry, but the NFL's been getting, like, I love football so much. And for them to just turn it into like an entertainment sport where it's all fucking like made up, like, hey, the Rams play the Vikings this week. We have the Rams winning. Make sure it happens. Like, we have Tampa playing the Eagles this week. Make sure Tampa wins because of fucking Brady. Look, all the old fucking quarterbacks have Super Bowls now.
Not all of them. Matt Ryan.
He had the opportunity.
He shit
it out.
That wasn't the statement, though, sir.
He's been there. He's been to the promised land.
He just choked it harder.
He did.
Oh, my God.
He met Brady at halftime.
But let's get off of this entertainment to some actual real football. Some NCAA football coming back this weekend. Ain't the highlight games that we want this weekend. But it's a nice little
it's a warm up appetizer. It's the preseason of college football.
Exactly. You know, I'd love to see Mercer play.
And you know, I'm looking forward to September 3rd.
Oh my God.
There are four games slated that day that are the top games. And I feel like the Oregon at Georgia game. Oh. Now it's in a neutral stadium. Neutral, even though it's in Georgia.
It's in the
Mercedes Dome.
Okay, so Georgia home
It's in Georgia. I've got Georgia winning that game by 10. And by the way, that game is going to be on ABC at 3:30 in the afternoon. More SEC games on CBS, guys. We can all be so thankful that we don't have to watch CBS broadcasting anymore for the SEC network.
Because
if you weren't a Alabama fan or a Georgia fan, those commentators would just talk shit about your team all game long, and it was horrible.
They were fair.
Fair to
Georgia. Oh no, they weren't fair at all.
Go back and watch a CBS aired Georgia versus Alabama game. You talk about the most confusing broadcast ever.
Dude, it was awful.
Holy Jesus.
And I'm an Alabama fan, and I was just like, yo, Gary Daniels, like, what the hell are you talking about?
So Oregon and Georgia, you have
Georgia
D.C. moving to Oregon and taking over the program, Dan Lanning. And then he got Auburn's quarterback.
Bo Nix?
Is Oregon's quarterback now.
Man, I don't give two fucks
Bo Nix. Look at this. The SEC guys jumping out, going to the Pac-12 to try to, like, do something with it.
Because, I mean, it's easier grass to conquer.
It kind of is. Well, now we all know why Lincoln Riley went. And now they're trying to move him to the Big Ten. He might be looking for another job soon.
Oh, hey, Oregon, you need a head coach.
But I got Georgia by 10. How about you?
I got Georgia by 14.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think Oregon has the firepower to handle Georgia.
Wow. All right, well, here's the next one for you. Cincinnati at Arkansas. It's a 3:30 game on ESPN.
I got Arkansas by 17.
17. I've got Arkansas by 15.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Who does Cincinnati have anymore?
They
lost their studs.
You are correct. I just feel like Luke Fickell is doing a great job with Cincinnati.
Yeah,
he's recruiting that area like wildfire. He's letting Ohio State and all them boys come down to Florida and try to pick up guys, and he is scooping them all up there. And then he's also coming down to Florida and grabbing a few.
Yeah, but they're doing good for our Power 5 conference. Like,
they made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, then look what happened in the playoffs.
They beat Notre Dame last year, and that's what kicked them into the playoffs. So, I mean, I feel like the playoffs last year could have been flip-flopped on the teams that played the teams. I'd have liked to have seen Georgia play Cincinnati, and I'd have liked to have seen Alabama play Jesus. I know, right?
God. I'm
blanking on it.
Don't tell me.
But I would have liked to have seen that flipped.
Ohio State? No, it wasn't Ohio State.
Was it Oklahoma?
No, it wasn't.
I'm going to have to go back and look, guys.
God.
But I would have liked to have seen those playoff games switched up a little bit, because I felt like that Cincinnati had no business playing Alabama. And even if Cincinnati would have gotten past Georgia to go to the championship game, we already know who would have won that game. But it is what it is. It turned out the way it turned out. But now we get to kick off a whole new season, and we have Arkansas beating the shit out of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Arkansas has actually gotten pretty sneaky good.
This one is a my game. Utah at Florida, which is a big favor to us because it's in the south and it's under sea level, basically, compared to the mountains that they're from. It's a 7 p.m. game, so it's a night game.
A little cooler.
And I only have Florida by 3.
Utah by 10.
Utah by 10?
Utah is a program you got to watch out for this year.
But they're also kind of like Cincinnati. They lost some players to the league last year. They're kind of rebuilding a little bit.
I'm telling you right now, Utah's going to shock the world when they beat Florida.
I hope not, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope not, but we are predicted. Last one for the September 3rd games is Notre Dame at Ohio State. It's a 7:30 game in the shoe on ABC. I have Ohio State by 3 points.
I got Ohio State by 21 points.
21?
C.J. Stroud is going to make his case for Heisman starting with this game.
What? What?
Yes.
No.
It is going to be a one-sided hammer and Stroud, one-sided fucking beating, and Stroud's holding the hammer.
Wow. I did not see that one coming out of you.
I hate Ohio State with a passion, but
I hate both them teams with a passion.
I speak facts.
The only reason I really dislike Notre Dame is how they get to choose that they don't have to be in a conference.
Oh, yeah, and they're overrated.
I don't like
that. What happened the last two times they were in a big game?
They got the hammer.
Oh, no, it wasn't the hammer. It was the switch.
So, there's one more game that I find kind of cool for that first weekend slate of games, and it's the September 4th. So it's a Sunday game.
Oh, yeah, Sunday.
It's Florida State at LSU. Now, here's the tricky part about this game is it's in Death Valley, and it is a night game. And if you're an SEC guy, I'm an SEC guy, and you play there every year, we play there every year, or vice versa due to the schedule. But what I'm saying, though, is playing LSU in Death Valley on a night game is much different than playing LSU or playing in Death Valley during the daytime.
Oh, for some reason, like
that place is wicked.
Voodoo. You just see voodoo, which hold on,
we gonna poke this player right here.
come on there, burning the spirit of Joel Martin.
So what I'm saying though is I have LSU winning by 10 because they're young, new coach. They got pieces they need to work with.
I got LSU by 14 because who's so FSU no, been since Jameis Winston?
No love for the Simon Holes.
The criminals?
I mean, I got better names for him because I'm a Gator fan, but we leave that off the air.
Yeah, PG-13.
Unless you want to post a comment down there and let us know what you think. Exactly. I would love to see what you guys think. So, one little difference in college football this year that I would like to put out there is the SEC is not playing on CBS anymore. And I know I brought it up a few minutes ago, but just to let you all know that like you're going to see all of the SEC slate of games on either the SEC network, ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, any one of those affiliated with the Disney network of ESPN networks, if you will. That is the new contract. All of SEC is wrapped up in that. I can't remember if it's a 10-year contract.
I want to say 10-year.
But we are locked in with ESPN now, and we are so thankful so we don't have to listen to CBS broadcasting anymore.
No more Gary Daniels.
Yes, no more Gary Daniels. I can't wait for the first 3:30 ABC game.
Oh, my God.
I hope we like their commentary. Watch Gary Daniels switch over to ABC.
You thought you got rid of me.
He goes walking out.
Roll Tide.
But hey, last thing that I don't want any of you guys to forget about is next week is a big week for our podcast. We are having our inaugural shop draft I own a vape shop here in our area, and what we did was we created an 8-man fantasy football league, and we're calling it the Shop Draft. And what we're going to do is next week at 8:30, we are going to have our Shop Draft live with you all. And what we would love to see is over this week is if you could share this out, get as many people to join our podcast, like, subscribe, shoot a bunch of comments in there. Tell us how shitty we're doing. Tell us how great we're doing. Tell us what you want to see, what you don't want to see. Just, it's just going to make us an even better thing to listen to. And that's what we want, ultimately. We love doing this.
Oh, yes.
So, with that being said, please join us next week, 8:30, for our inaugural draft. And, you know, I can't wait. And just like that, you know, we're gonna bust this playbook open again next week. And next week's going to be the great one.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
It's the draft.
Yes, sir. I hope y'all have a great night. Hope y'all enjoyed listening. And see y'all later.
Peace out, guys.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
With every race, every qualifying run, and every pit stop, Tim Coffeen would feel the pressure and excitement. With his own podcast on the Sports History Network called Tim Coffeen Talks IndyCar and Racing History, Tim will share those very same racing emotions and memories with his listeners. Learn, laugh, and enjoy the world of IndyCar racing through the eyes of Tim Coffeen.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.